Blog Talk Radio.
Family and listening audience, welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll remind everyone to grab all your study tools, for we're about to go through the scriptures tonight. About to travel through some definitions, so if you don't normally grab a regular dictionary, then grab a dictionary today. So grab your dictionary, your Bibles, your notepads, your iPads, your pens, your pencils, highlighters, all those things that you know need for good study. As we approach the Sabbath day, I hope that everyone had a good and productive week. I hope that everyone gave the Father his due kudos, gave the Son his due kudos, as he led and guided you throughout the course of this week. Hopefully the light of the Son that dwells within you shines forth in good times, bad times, and in between times, always giving the glory to the Most High. But last week, we learned a little bit how it is the Father who molds and guides us. And if the Father wishes to remold you, then he has that power to do that. And that's one of the things that throughout the course of this week came to my mind, that particular scripture that was brought out last week. And hopefully throughout the course of this lesson tonight, you have a little tidbit to consider, just a thought, because this is a thought that he put on my mind to share with you all this week. I'm going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to gather at this moment to give you praise and give you honor and to travel through your word and through your truth. We thank you, Father, for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer and soon coming King. For it is through his spilled blood and his sacrifice that we have been given an opportunity to live another day. Father, we ask of thee to continue to assist us and give you praise and give you honor. And thank you for your loving kindness that you have shown us throughout the course of this week, giving us our health and our strength, both mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Father, we thank you for keeping us under your wings and protecting us from dangers seen and unseen. We thank you, Father, for being on our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind as we travel throughout the course of this week. Father, we thank you once again for your love, and we thank you for the truth of your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies Sabbath. So as we begin this teaching day, hopefully it'll be a nice little appetizer for the right before you eat your meal for the evening. And if you have already eaten your meal for the evening, may this be like a little dessert, aims the taste in your mouth. Hallelujah. The title of this particular lesson is The Choice is Yours. And like I said, throughout the course of the week, my father put a couple of terms on my mind. And I'm going to go through a couple, you know, a few terms, give the definition. And he also led me through his word to coincide with some of these definitions of these words. So I suggest that, you know, I'm going to go, you know, try to go slow so that, you know, giving everyone an opportunity to jot these words down. And as you jot these words down and, you know, try to write the definitions down, but look at these particular words and look at the definition and see how they apply to you and your journey, your walk with the Most High, and see how, you know, they fit you. Because as he led me through the scriptures, that's how, in a sense, they fit me. So the first term we're going to start with is social influences. And this term came about when I was looking at a definition for another term. And I put it at the top because we live in an era where we dictate a number of things within our life, both individually, collectively, and as a humanity. And these social influences dictate sometimes how we think. And we have to be mindful of those things because back in the day, you know, we say years ago, we can also say 20 years ago, information was disseminated differently in our era. But as we go in the scriptures, information was disseminated differently then. But it still ended up with the same results. And those same results that I'm talking about is people not having faith in the Most High, people not doing what the Most High says, people coming up with their own ideas. So this whole concept is, it's nothing new. Reading the scriptures, the Father already knew this, and he had already prepared for these things. One of the things that he said in his word is that we war not with flesh and blood, but in principalities and places and powers in high places. I'm paraphrasing. And so as I went through this week and the Father led and guided me to these words and looked them up, I was dealing with various struggles within myself, within the physical realm. And as I was going through this week, I had to apply those things that I had been reading and coming across, or some of these definitions that I was coming across. And I had to apply them to my life. I had to apply them to that particular moment. Because inside, I want to be a better person. I want to be a good servant for the Most High. But I war with issues, isms, and schisms. And as I war with these isms and schisms, the Father is constantly remolding me, leading and guiding me, so that I can get an understanding of these isms and schisms and utilize his word to get rid of them. As we learn in the scriptures that, you know, you get, you know, when you start cleaning up the house or get rid of those bad thoughts, you have to put in good things. Because if you don't put in good things, those bad things that you once got rid of will come back and they will be even worse. So as we travel with the Most High and follow Yahushua as he leads and guides us, because he left that perfect example of what we should do. He gave us the authority to overcome the struggles that we may come across. But one of the things we have to do is believe and have faith. And sometimes our faith is questioned. And our faith is questioned sometimes by ourselves. So now I'm getting into some of these terms. Like I said, the first term was social influences. And one of the definitions that I came across in regards to this term, it reads, involves intentional and unintentional efforts to change another person's beliefs, attitudes, or behavior. Unlike persuasion, which is typically intentionally, and requires some degree of awareness on the part of the target, social influences may be advertly or accidental. That's the first definition. Second definition I came across was interpersonal processes that cause individuals to change their thoughts, feelings, or behaviors. And that is social influences. When we deal with things that's outside of us, when we go to work, when we go to the market, when we go to our places of worship, when we go to the movies, when we go to the amusement park, and we interact with others outside of our immediate circle, and we see how they interact with each other, how they interact with us. And sometimes we take thought of with our interactions with other people, and they sometimes change how we view things. But we're supposed to always keep the word of Yah first and foremost in our life. But we know that he is the truth. We know that his word will not lie to us. But our awareness, our thoughts, can deceive us in thinking that they are true. The term we're going to go to is obedience. Because this is one of the things that we've learned in the scriptures, that the Father wants of us. And obedience is, term is defined as behavior in compliance with a direct command, often one issued by a person in a position of authority. So as we travel day to day, we understand that there is an authority that is greater than us. Acknowledge the Father as being that authority. And we acknowledge that his word, that he has had many different men pen, is his authority written on paper. And that's if you believe in that. Because sometimes we come across situations where we don't believe in it, or people don't believe in it. And because they don't believe in it, they don't acknowledge that authority. And they come up with their own. And then they sometimes be the authority. The next term we're going to deal with is conformity. And this is one of the terms that came to my mind, you know, in dealing with this particular topic, conformity. And it reads, the process whereby people change their beliefs, attitudes, actions, or perceptions to more closely matching those held by groups to which they belong or want to belong, or by groups whose approval they desire. Go to his norms are implicit rules shared by groups of individuals that guide their interactions with others and among society or social groups. Norms. And this is one of those things that we as individuals are subject to when we interact with people outside of ourselves in different settings. As they say sometimes, majority rule. And when you deal with that, that means something to the effect that if more people agree with this particular concept, then it must be right. But as you walk along the ways of the Most High, that's not true. Because when we read the scriptures and understand that it's always a faithful few that is doing what thus saith Yah, who is following those in whom he's chosen to teach and bring them to awareness, that he is aware of their actions and their deeds. And he wants them to get in right standings with him. And the next term we got is compliance. And this term means is public conformity while possibly keeping one's own original belief independently. It is motivated by the need for approval and the fear of being rejected. So when I came across this definition, I kind of was going through a situation at work. I disagreed with something that was going on, but I conformed. I didn't want to, raise any sand. I didn't want to kick up any dust. So I just conformed to what was told to me by the authority that was given to me. So the authority that was over me because of the situation that I was in or my place, I guess, according to the chain of command or the authority. So that was one of those situations throughout the course of the week that, I said, this definition just definitely jumped out at me in regards to you know, having an independent understanding, or I'm going to go here because I've used this term many times, independent isms and schisms. You know, when we use a certain situation, what you believe or what you think doesn't really matter. And sometimes we put more stock in what we believe than what is so. And then we put up a discussion to try to convince others that our particular way is the right way. But if our particular way is not according to what thus saith Yah, what has been passed down in the example shown through the old shore, then we must realize that our opinion is an error. The next term we're going to go to is acceptance. And that was something that I had to deal with also, accepting that I'm not right, accepting that my viewpoint is an error or is wrong. And looking at the definition of acceptance is the action of consenting to receive or undertake something offered. Agreement with or belief in an idea, opinion, or explanation. Willingness to tolerate a difficult or unpleasant situation. So when I read this definition, something, and what came to my mind is, you know, when we cleave to the ways of the Most High and walk in His truth, we have to be willing to deal with our and accept what He says we must do with our life, giving total reliance to Him and what He says. Another definition for acceptance: an express act or implication by conduct that manifests term of an offer in a manner invited or required by the offer so that a binding contract is formed. So when I read this, what came to mind was when we accept the Messiah in our life, there's a process that we go through. We go through the baptism. And when we go through the baptism, that's something that we agree to in our minds first. And we agree to that, then we go through the term, being dipped in the water. But we first go, we understand it in the spiritual. And then we go through the physical manifestation of going into the water in His name and understanding that in His name we will be cleansed. And then when we rise up and say, now I am going to do my part, still in this obligation of this contract. And so that's when we go day to day, dealing with the ins and outs of life, cleaving to the contract in which we say that we're going to do. And that is follow the Lamb wherever He shall go. And we understand, because when we read and we become close to Him, we understand that He was the Word manifest in flesh. And so we must go back to the Word and understand what the Word is telling us in regards to how to uphold this contract that we have made a conscious decision to be in. So these are the terms that as we go through these scriptures, keep those in mind. When I begin some of the scriptures, I'm going to go to the term, and this is, you know, what, how the Father led me in regards to these terms. So we're going to start with the term obedience. And he led me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And it reads, Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So the Father took me here as far as obedience, because now he is talking to man. And he is giving man a command to listen to be obedient. Do as I say. That is over you. He gave him a choice. Told him to eat of it. He told him he can eat of every tree freely, but then he gave him an option, as one would say. And with that option came condition. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. And it reads, I have called heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live, you in your seat, to Yahweh, your mighty one, to obey his voice and to cleave to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which Yahweh swore to your father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Led me to this scripture because he's given a command. He's using his authority and assisting me by telling you to choose life. See, because in Genesis 2:15, he gave you an option. But he told you, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that you would surely die. And because the Father understood and knew man's thoughts, he came back and told him to choose life this time. In this particular scripture, and told him to obey his voice. And letting him know, I am your life. Because in the beginning, when he told him these things, he didn't explain to him how he was the life for him. And that he wanted him to choose him, not his own individual thinking. He wanted him to choose him. And that's what he's telling us. He wants us to choose him, not our individual thinking, not the thinking of other people. Choose me. You know, like, you know, just an example, when you're a child and you're playing sports and, you know, someone is choosing, and they in the background saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. That's what the Father is saying to us. Pick me, pick me. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And it reads, and you shall love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. We're going to read verse 6. These words which I command you this day shall be on your heart. And some many lessons. When you get to this word heart, it's dealing with your mind, your thinking. So he wants us to have him on our mind, in our thinking, always. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then 11 and 12. And this is an example of someone being obedient. And it reads, verse 1, and it happened after these things that Yahweh, Abraham, and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, now take your son, your only son, whom you love, even Isaac, and go into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering, and on the mountain which I tell you of. Verse 11, the angel of Yahweh came to him out of the sky and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy, neither do anything to him. For now I know that you fear Yahweh, since you have not withheld your son, your own son, from me. And if you're familiar with this story, Yahweh told Abraham to offer up his son, Isaac. And as you study this particular story, this particular account in humanity, Abraham was in a time when human sacrifices for people and their false worship were offering up their children. And the father, Yahweh, asked him to do something that went contrary to what he had learned throughout the years. And Abraham was willing and he was obedient to do this thing, despite what he thought was right. And as we see in his effort of doing the right thing, for being obedient to what was said to him, the father told him, stay your hand. And that's what he wants from us, obedience. One of the things that, you know, I was discussing this lesson with my wife, and we came in, the scripture came up, how suffering to me as little children. And that's what he wants us to do. And coming to him, he wants us to come to him like little children. For those who have children, and when you pass on information to your children, in their infancy or in their earliest stages, they suck it up like a sponge. Because they have no other information but the information that you're giving them. They're pure innocence. But it's as they get older and interact with other people that they begin to question the things that have been taught to them. And as parents and as the Most High does with us, he reinforces the things that he has told us to be true. And he gives us different evidences throughout our life to show that the things that I have told you, the things that have been written before time, are true. So he wants us to continue to believe in him and to put away our thinking and to plead to him like the innocent children. From here we go to John chapter 10, verse 14 to 16. And we're still under the term obedience. And it reads, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and I'm known by my own. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. They will become one flock with one shepherd. And if you're familiar with this scripture, this is Yahushua talking. And he's talking about humanity. Because we know and understand through the scriptures that he came to lay his life down for humanity's sake. And we also know that it is taught in the scriptures in regard to Israel being that beacon or that light that he was going to use to assist him in teaching humanity. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 19, verse 30. And it reads, "When Yahushua therefore had received the vintage, he said, 'It is finished.' He bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Father led me to this scripture. Why? Because Yahushua said that he was going to save his people. And how did he save his people? He laid his life down for their sake and took on their sins. And in his effort of taking on their sins, he gave them an option. He gave them an out. He gave them a way to meet the Father. And that's if they believe in him, believing that he is the way, believing that he is the truth that has been talked about in the scriptures. From here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And this is going to be dealing with social influences. And it reads, "Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of thought of his heart was only evil continually." So we look at our day-to-day situations nowadays. You turn on the TV, and what are you seeing? The corruption of humanity. You turn on the radio, and you listen to it, you hear the corruption of humanity. So, the Father already let us know in regards to our thought patterns and our imagination is wicked. Social influences. Now we're going to go to Yahushua or the book of Joshua. We're going to read chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. Because even in the midst of our social influences, we do have goodness that's being put out there, positivity that's being put out there. And we have to connect these positivities to the Most High, understanding that he is still giving us a choice in wanting to serve him. And it reads, verse 14, "Now therefore, fear Yahweh, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve Yahweh. If it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh." So now you have a man who is serving Yahweh, a man who has been chosen to lead Yahweh's people for Israel, and to let them know that you have a choice to serve Yahweh or not to serve Yahweh. But as for me, being a representative, I am going to serve Yahweh and my household is going to be taught to serve Yahweh. Because we read earlier, or we have learned in the scriptures, how we're supposed to teach our children as we sit in our home, as we walk upon the way, as we serve Yahweh with all our might and all our soul, all our being. And we're supposed to be an example to those who see us to do the same thing. From here, we're going to go to Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And it reads, he warned them, saying, take heed, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. This is Yahushua speaking to the people. And the Father took me here because, you know, as we understand and learn about the term yeast, yeast is symbolic of sin. And he's telling you, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees are people that are close to you, or the learned people of Israel. And then the yeast of Herod is the yeast or the sin or the thinking or the ideology of those who have money that are amongst Israel. So people think that they can influence others based on having great knowledge of the Torah, great knowledge of the word. Some people think they can influence others because they have wealth and they have stuff. And sometimes people are influenced by that, especially when you don't have the stuff, the things, the great, the jewels. Back then, the herd. In this day and time, the cars, the homes. Back then, went to the great schools of learning, higher learning. Today, same thing. The doctrines, the masters, the PhDs. Don't get caught up in those things. Because as the scriptures, it says that the Father will make the simple will confound the wise. Why? Because he's telling you the simple truth of what needs to be said. Not tap dancing and going around Robin Hood's barn to say nothing. Going straight to the point and bringing it to your understanding. And sometimes it's so simple that people think that it's too simple to be true. But in essence, it is. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Verse 30. Now, this is going to be dealing with the norms. And it reads, take heed to yourself that you not be ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Do likewise. And this is the Father telling the people, don't get caught up in the norm of what other people are doing, because those things that they're doing are not of me. Those things that they're doing does not support me. And because they don't support me, I am dealing with them accordingly. And he will deal with us the same way if we get caught up in the norms of the nation and going contrary to what he has shown us and what he has brought us to. Because as we know, he's constantly molding us and shaping us, leading and guiding us, and giving us the choice to want to continue to do what his word said. Because his word became an example for us. And walked amongst Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. And this is the prophet Daniel. And an account that happened during his life. And it reads, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his home. Now his windows were open in his room toward Jerusalem. And he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day in prayer and gave thanks before his mighty one as he did before. See, this is talking about Daniel when he was amongst the Babylonians. And see, Daniel followed the ways of the Most High because Daniel was chosen by him to do a work. And he showed the greatness of Yahweh in Babylon. And so you had some evil men who were jealous of the knowledge that Yahweh had given him. And so they came up with a plan to try to get rid of Daniel. So they came up with this decree. They went to the king and had them sign this decree to give homage to him for a period of time. And had him sign it and put it into play. And Daniel was not given homage to any deity outside of Yahweh. He was true. He didn't get caught up in the norm of that period of time in which he was in. And if you're familiar with the story, they locked him up. Yahweh delivered him. From here, we're going to go to 1 Kings, chapter 11, verse 4. And this reads, for it happened when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with Yahweh, his mighty one, as the heart of David, his father. So this is just dealing with another norm, because what happened was Solomon allowed his affection for his wives, turned his thinking away from Yahweh, and he began to worship false deities. From here, we're going to go to 1 Timothy, verse 5 and 6. And it reads, but she who gives herself to pleasure is dead while she lives. And the Father led me to this particular scripture because when we conform to the pleasures of our life or to the pleasures of our mind, at times they cause us to be against the Father. Even though we're living day to day, we're dying inside because we're going further and further and further away from the Father because we're cleaving to the pleasures that dwell within us. From here, we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 15. And it reads, then the lust, when it was conceived, there is sin. And the sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. See, the lust starts in our mind. The lust for what? The things of the world. The norms that we hear. And then when we decide to put it in action, bring it out. See, first, we're thinking about it. And then we begin to talk about it. And then it manifests itself. And when it manifests itself, it's going contrary to what the words say we should be doing. But now it has created, it has now taken life. And so now it's growing within us. And if we don't conquer it or get it, put it in its place, then it becomes grown up. And now the actions of this thought brings death to us. Why? Because this thought has now caused us to go contrary to what thus saith Yahweh. Because we want to be accepted by the world, by those that are outside the will of Yahweh. From here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 19. And this is dealing with compliance. So if you go back to the definition of compliance, this is where the Father led me in the scriptures in regards to being compliant. And it reads, Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. And it reads, they said to Moses, or Moshe, speak with us yourself, and we will listen. But do not let Yahweh speak with us, lest we die. See, this is dealing with Moses and Israel when they came out of Egypt. As, because Moses had a relationship with Yahweh, he could speak with him, and he listened to him. Moshe would go down and talk to the people and let the people know what Yahweh said. But like when they was in Egypt, Moses told the people different things, and people didn't listen. They didn't pay attention to him. And then he brought it to their attention that, yeah, the Father's going to speak with you all. Prepare yourselves for this. See, now they had to make a choice. Is Yahweh really alive? Even though they've seen the things that he did to the Egyptians, even though they went through these 10 plagues, who had different ideologies within themselves, they complied to an extent, but they still had their own ideology within. So they agreed, hey, look, we don't want to die. We listen to you, Moses. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 13. And it says, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances, which if a man keep, he shall live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly profaned. Then I said, I will pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness to consume them. Now this is talking about the men who rebelled against Yahweh in the wilderness, where they said that they will keep his laws and statutes. They said that they would listen to Moses, but they rejected the things that Moses laid down to them. Thus saith Yahweh. And what did he do? That generation did not make it into the promised land. They all died in the wilderness. They all died with their phoniness, died with their facade. So when we be in compliance, let's be in compliance because we truly accept what is being presented to us. Because if we disagree with something, Father just brought to my mind the pig. You know, we're not supposed to eat the pig. The pig has a split hoof. So that means the pig is going to be walking right. Because the righteous animals or the animals, the cattle we can eat has a split hoof. But one thing about the pig, it doesn't chew the cud. And so the thing that the Father brought to my mind many years ago, see, the pig doesn't walk the walk. I mean, it walks the walk, but it doesn't talk the talk. It doesn't talk, thus saith Yahweh. When we call ourselves being in compliance with the word, yeah,
We're walking the walk without thinking is not that of Yahweh. But we're not necessarily talking the talk. The talk that we're talking is that of our own and not that of Yahweh. Because if you add a little, if you add a little strychnine to water, you die. That's one of the reasons why he said, don't add to my word or take away from my word. And sometimes that's what we do. We add to the word and we take away from the word. And for those who are unlearned in the word, who think that you're in line with the word, when in essence you're not. You're calling yourself complying with the word, when in essence you're like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, adding something. Make yourself look good, when in essence, to the Father, you're not looking good at all. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 8, verse 3 to 8. And it reads, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman, taken in adultery, set her in the midst. They told him, teacher, we found this woman in adultery, in the very act. Now in our law, Moses commanded us to stone such. What then do you say about her? They said this, testing him, that they might have something to accuse him of. Yahushua stooped and wrote on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he looked up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. Father led me to this one because they believed that they were in compliance with the law when they brought her before him in regards to her being caught in adultery. But he, understanding the physical and the spiritual of the law, brought to their attention, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. And see, when he said that to them, they all dropped a rock. For their stones. Why? Because they were no different than her. And based on his understanding of that law, they too were supposed to be stoned. From here, we're going to go to Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. And this particular group of scriptures are going to be talking about acceptance. Said, go back to the definition for the term acceptance and see how the Father led me in regards to these scriptures and see where he leads you in regards to these scriptures also. As we deal with our acceptance of the Most High, as we deal with our acceptance of the Word, as we deal with our acceptance of Yahushua, and Father just brought to my mind, I think I'm almost finished, but hopefully you can hear me. Hopefully somebody sent out a thumbs up. God, you can hear me. But I believe the Father allowed y'all to hear what's been said thus far. I just think that was the man in me just checking to see if you can hear me. But the Father has, he has this on. He has this. So I'm getting back into it. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Acceptance. And he took me to verse 23 in Mark. And it reads, Yahushua said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, Father, the child cried out with tears, I believe, help my unbelief. See, this is an acceptance and an action to make sure. And if you're familiar with this story, this is in regards to a man who had a son who had issues. He was possessed by evil spirits. And he believed in Yahushua. He believed that Yahushua could help him. But the father had levels of unbelief. And so he asked Yahushua to help his unbelief. And sometimes we as believers, we believe. We accept both physically, spiritually, emotionally. But life beats us up sometimes. And we cry out for help in regards to our unbelief. And he sends us his word. He sends us a friend, family. He sends our friends, family, anybody that he chooses to bring in our path to let us know. Or as I say, give us those awe moments to let us know that he's still here. He's still with us. Just as we are with him, he's with us. He even lets us know, I'm with you when you even turn your back on me. When you decide to take another road, I'm still with you. And I'm going to help you with your unbelief to turn you right back to me. Exodus chapter 31, verse 12 to 13. And it reads, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, most certainly you shall keep my Sabbath, for it is a sign between me and you, throughout your generation, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. The Father gave us his physical laws, statutes, and judgments. He gave us something physically to do, so that it be a constant reminder to us that it is he who is sanctifying us. It is he who is separating us from the world. And as we learned over the years, the world system. And we understand and we've been taught when we deal with the world system, we're dealing with of Hasatan. The system that he has put out there to be a counterfeit to us. And we also have learned that it is the Father that allowed him to do the things that he did. It is the Father that gives us the strength to face him through his son, Yahushua. He has shown us that Yahushua overcame. Yahushua had the power greater than Hasatan. And that we believe in him and allow him to take residence up in us, then we too will cause the adversary to flee. From here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. And it reads, but this thing I command them, saying unto my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I command you, that it may be well with you. See, this is the Father telling us again to obey his voice. Obey his voice. And we've learned over the years, who's his voice? He utilizes men and teaches these men and has a relationship with these men, speak on his behalf to us as humans on the earth. John chapter 6, verse 35 and 36. And it reads, Yahushua said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I told you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. See, Yahushua has presented himself to us in many ways. And sometimes we just do not believe that it is him that are doing these things for us. And that goes back to helping out unbelief. And he brings it to our attention. It was me. It was me, my little one. It was me. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 17, verse 17. And it reads, Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. See, this is Yahushua thinking of prayer for us as his little one, as his sheep. And he's praying to the Father. And he's explaining to us how he and the Father are one. And he doesn't do anything outside of what the Father say. And he's letting us know that the Father has sanctified us, has set us apart. And how has he done that? By giving us the truth of his word, which is Yahushua, which is Yahweh Elohim, which is his word, the thing that he created. And that is the Father. The Father created the Word. And the Word manifested itself to humanity through Yahweh Elohim, through Yahushua. And if we believe in his Word, and if we believe in Yahweh Elohim, in Yahushua, then we will be in the truth. And we will not hunger. And we would not thirst, because we understand that it is Yahushua that dwells in us, that causes us not hunger and thirst. From here, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 12. And I'm just going to read the second phrase in this particular scripture. And then before I read it, it's just dealing with, comes to my mind, is that true Israel. And understanding, this is the span that lets you know that you are that Israel that Yahushua came here for. And that Israel is the one who keep Yahweh's commandments and hold Yahushua's testimony. That is the true Israel. Keeping Yahweh's commandments and holding Yahushua's testimony, which is the word of Yah. Last scripture for the night, because as I look out the window, the sun is set, so we're in the Sabbath. last scripture for this teaching is 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And this is dealing with, like I said, we're still under acceptance. And it reads, "Now, O Elohim Yahweh, you are mighty one, and your words are true. And you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For you, Elohim Yahweh, have spoken it. Let the house of your servant be blessed forever with your blessings." Shabbat Shalom, Beth Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, and we are the servants that dwell in this house, that bears his name. The choice is yours. Serve Yahweh. Believe in Yahushua, for he has a place for you in his kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as we come before thee on thy Sabbath day, we thank thee for allowing us to enter into this moment with you. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to open our minds to the wonders of your word, open our eyes to see the truth of your word, open our mouth to speak the wonders of your word, plant our feet in a solid doctrine of thy truth, strengthen us to hold to the foundation of thy wonders. Cleave unto Yahushua, our master, cornerstone, our foundation of your truth, of your way. Father, as we come before thee, we thank thee for the lessons, the blessings, the ups, the downs, turnarounds. We thank you for the obstacles that you've allowed us to go through. We thank you for your tender mercies and your loving kindness. We thank thee for thy healing. Thank thee for thy strength. For it's through our weakness shows your strength. May we continue to show our dying love for thee and our joy that you bring to our hearts through thy word. May you continue to mold us to fit into your house. May we be willing vessels to receive the spirit of your truth. May we continue to build and build and build in your wonders so that our cup can overflow with thy truth, with thy spirit, with thy wonders. We thank you once again, Father, for choosing us, your little ones. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray on behalf of Israel and all those that are listening and all those who will come to the wonders of your way. In Yahushua's precious name. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, field of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. And you all continue to enjoy the Sabbath evening. And may you have a peaceful and restful slumber. May Yahweh stand with you in your conscious mind as well as your unconscious mind. Guard your gates, family. Protect yourself. For the adversary is always looking. Bye, shalom. And you all have a peaceful slumber. Shalom.
everything I wanna have, and I may not be everything I wanna be. The pain, the sunshine and rain, we wanna still give you the praise, even when I've walked away.